Blog Talk Radio.
Let's see, April 15th, that's a big day for taxes, isn't it? Yeah, people don't talk about it the same as they used to, but, you know, pretty much our country is such a bizarre place right now that, you know, so many weird things to talk about that people aren't even talking about taxes, which is, tomorrow's the biggie. The 14th of April, what it represents to us here today is we're going to be looking at Proverbs 14. Now, once we move into these center proverbs, the 10 center proverbs, there's it's almost like, I don't even know what to say, it's just night and day, good and bad, left and right, up and down, in and out. I mean, it's just almost diametrically opposed in almost everything. And it shows you, literally, you can go with this or you can go with that. I mean, that's basically where you're at with the information that comes out here. So I just want to read it to you, then I want to cover a couple things that I think are pretty interesting. And again, it goes through from chapter 10 all the way through for a while here. And so we're kind of continuing on. And you can pretty much pick any one of these Proverbs. Again, this is the 14th, so you could read Proverbs 14 today and get through a chapter. But you're going to see a lot of the same things said in different manners, even in this chapter I'm going to do. But let's just go along and see. Again, we'll look at the basically positive and negative ends of things. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is crooked in his ways despises him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of the ox. And we know what that's referring to. Remember that. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness speaks lies. A scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge is easy to him who has understanding. Leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern words of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is goodwill. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way which seems right to a man, but in the end it is the way of death. Even in laughter, the heart may be in pain, and the end of joy may be grief. The backslider in heart will have his fill of his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied with his. The naive believes everything, but the prudent man considers his steps. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices his hatred. The naive inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil will bow down before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is hated even by his neighbor, but those who love the rich are many. He who despises his neighbor sins, but happy is he who is gracious to the poor. Will they not go astray who devise evil? But kindness and truth will be to those who devise good. In all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the folly of fools is foolishness. A truthful witness saves lives, but he who speaks lies is treacherous. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. In a multitude of people is a king's glory, but in a dearth a people is a prince's ruin. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. A tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion is rottenness in the bones. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him. The wicked is thrust down by his wrongdoing, but the righteous has a refuge when he dies. Wisdom rests in the heart of one who has understanding, but in the bosom of fools it is made known. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. The king's favor is toward a servant who acts wisely, but his anger is toward him who acts shamefully. There's more wisdom and understanding and good stuff in that. Number four says this, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. In other words, if you don't have any bulls in the barn, there's none of their excrement on the ground. You can take that out to whatever extent you want. But much increase comes by the strength of the ox. In other words, here's a ox that leaves past behind it its droppings. But when you get an ox out working and doing something, increase comes. Now you're going to have to put up with a little bit of stuff if you can have oxen around. Well, there's stuff. Bad things, I mean, whatever word you want to use there, dung. Paul used some pretty heavy words to describe what that is. And it is everywhere, all around us. And we can't avoid the bad stuff. But what we can do, I mean, we can avoid allowing it to have place in our life. We can avoid allowing wretchedness and wickedness and evilness and ill-temperedness and all those, the quick-temperedness, those things, to not have a place in our life. But it takes absolute dedication. It takes absolute dedication. And it takes a commitment that may put you in a place that is not comfortable, really. I'm thinking about not being comfortable. I was studying through when I read Anne Graham Lotz's Daily Devotion. I'm going to read it to you right now. And when you commit, you have to have wisdom. You have to think correctly, but listen to this. Jesus had just been executed, and because he was just executed as a criminal and an enemy of the state or an enemy of Rome, Joseph of Arimathea, his request was exceedingly bold. In other words, he made a request of Pilate for the body of Jesus in John 19. So he had just asked for that, and he was an enemy of the state, okay? As a prominent member of the religious community, Joseph of Arimathea, he ran the risk of provoking not only Pilate, but also other Jewish leaders, who then could have excommunicated him from the Sanhedrin and from the temple because of his actions. Joseph's action was especially astounding, since previously he had been so timid and fearful of the opinions of others that he had kept his belief in Jesus as the Messiah a secret. Now, however, he came out of the closet, and with Pilate's permission, he came and took the body. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body. Chapter 19, verse 38, and after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate granted permission. He came, therefore, and took away his body. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Even more astonishing, he was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who had earlier visited Jesus at night. How do we know that? Verse 39. And Nicodemus came also, who had first come to him by night, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. So Nicodemus, carrying a 100-pound sack of herbs, 100 pounds, and they went to do some serious stuff here. Now here's where Anne takes it. Listen to this. The Father's heart must have been deeply moved, and heaven's host must have applauded with joy to see these two fearful, prideful Jewish men throw caution to the wind. They had been silent when they should have spoken. They had denied their faith when they should have asserted it, but no more. Now, they were standing up for Jesus. So are you. are you standing up for Jesus? Where are you in your walk with Christ? Where are you in your search for wisdom? Are you listening to God's word? Are you paying attention to God's word? You know, I was just having a conversation with a friend who just got back from Hawaii. Oh, my. He's saying that, John's saying that he'd like to sell and move there, and they may end up doing that. They may end up, there's just going to be two more, you know, parents that are quite old, almost coming up on 90 and headed towards 100, and that's getting towards the real evening of your life. And if that happens, they may just sell everything they have here and go to Hawaii. We told him, hey, that'd be great, you know, at least get a place with an extra bedroom. Because in all reality, you know, you can save up the money to fly there if you have a place to stay. It's a wonderful place. It's a beautiful place. It really is like, it's like a paradise on earth. But you know what happens in Hawaii? People get murdered in Hawaii. People get raped in Hawaii. People get robbed. There's pain and there's suffering. There really is. But there is a general attitude in island living of being more relaxed. And it's one thing that we really, really, really need. I'm reading through Sarah Palin's book, Going Rogue. And I think after I got about a couple, maybe 200 pages, 250 pages in, I was really overcome with the fierceness of presidential elections, the phenomenal amount of money being spent, the lies that get told. There was one of the biggest lies that was told is that there was $150,000 by the Republican National Convention that had bought clothing and stuff for the Palins, for not only for Sarah, but for Todd and for Piper and Trey and all the kids to be able to wear these certain clothes. And Sarah didn't really like, I mean, she didn't hate them, but it wasn't her thing. And when they were done with the campaign, they returned every single thing that was there. They didn't keep any of it. It was not in their personal possession anyway. It was at the campaign area, either on the plane or the bus or whatever, and their clothes were picked for them. And she's back to jeans and a Carhartt, you know, and a stocking cap. And I don't think Todd really ever left that except for a suit he had to wear now and then. But the bottom line is the lies and the deceit and the... I'm really thankful for the Palin family that they didn't make it into the White House. Not because I don't think they would have done a good job, but because as I read this book, as I began to see the manipulation that's behind it and the horrificness, the only reason they did that is they love their country. They love the United States, and they have to live in one of the coolest ones, as it were, both physically cool and neat, you know, almost a throwback to yesteryear in Alaska. There's a lot of gravel roads in Alaska. And I think it can really change a person. I think they felt that too. When you're changed for the good, it's awesome. When you're changed for the bad, it's not. And if you fall into that group that it starts to accept things and starts to tolerate things, and it's very easy for any one of us to do that. Very easy for any of us to do that. You run the risk of having a really, really horrible life. You may not even know it's horrible, but you just buy into stuff. And so when John had mentioned Hawaii and just kind of the laid-back attitude there, we need to have that kind of an attitude and everything. Not lazy, but not this pressure cooker type life. We need to back away from that and back away from all that tension that we bring on ourselves. And as you look at this, there's almost always, now I say that because I don't want to get caught, but there's almost always at least a few choices. Almost always a few choices on what you can do, how you can handle a situation. We've taken the high road quite a few times, my wife and I have. A number of times we've taken the low road, below the belt, and hit hard. And not saying when we were on the high road we didn't wish we would have taken the low road and fought it out and been maybe as rude, if not ruder, than the people who were being rude to us. But that doesn't please God. That isn't what he wants us to do. There's going to be some messes as you get involved in living life. But you listen to this, and it's always the good, I mean, for basically, the good, the bad, Fools mock at sin. The upright, with the upright there's good will. Almost anywhere you jump in here, the naive believes everything, the prudent man considers his steps. In a multitude of people is a king's glory, but in the dearth of people is a prince's rule. It's like, this is the good and this is the bad. What are you going to do? Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who regards reproof will be honored. It's to be corrected, to learn, and to grow. And I think that happens to me. I need to listen. I don't care if it's somebody young or somebody old, somebody younger than me or somebody older than me. If they're giving me some wisdom on something I don't know anything about, I need to listen to them. I think that's a sign of maturity when we can listen to somebody that's helping us with something, showing us something, explaining something to us, and we don't have to run headlong and we got it. One of the classic examples of that is a lot of men like to not have to take directions. A lot of women would stop and ask directions or get a map and get the right way to go somewhere. But we go, I got this, and we end up, you know, driving us down a bad road, a gravel road, a dead-end road, what have you. And what that ends up being is, and women do it too, and men, a lot of men seek out the direction and everything first. But what it is pride. And pride comes before the fall, haughty spirit before destruction. Or pride comes before destruction, haughty spirit before the fall. Bottom line is, a prideful, haughty spirit comes before destruction and a fall, or fall and destruction. And we need to know that those are things that need to be put to death. It's not wrong to have pride in your family, or pride in your country, or pride in your church, or pride in your community. But pride that puffs up and makes you bigger than you are is not good. And I guarantee you that pride that makes you bigger than God, and I'm telling you, that's where so many people have gone. That's where so many people have gone. How long will it take from that lesson to get back to where, or get to a place where you can be used of God? I don't know. Hey, for Moses, it was 40 years. You know, for Paul, it was 14 years after conversion. I mean, so many people today, we watch them come to know Jesus, and we think they should be in the ministry within a week. We do that with a lot of celebrities. They supposedly get saved, and we have them on Christian television with their own program 3 weeks later. And they couldn't tell you who Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are. You know, so we need to really stop and think, you know, there's going to take some time to learn and to grow and to understand. But if we get into this book, this wisdom book, and pay attention, it will help us. Even if it just helps us one time, it's worth it. One little tidbit of information, it's worth it. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord. He who is crooked in his ways despises the Lord. Now, you might talk to somebody and go, I don't hate God. I love God. But they're crooked. They're not doing what they should be doing. They've convinced themselves that what they did was right and it protected their own interests. But they didn't think about what they did to people by doing that. Because it didn't matter, because all that matters is them. We need to really, really, really know that we need to stop that. And until you've actually met some of these people, and it took me a lot of years, honestly, a lot of years of being Christian to meet people that were like that. And you may meet them right off the bat, or you may never meet them to the level that other people will meet them, but you're going to. But here's the bottom line. Verse 25 of chapter 14 says this. A truthful witness saves lives. But he who speaks lies is treacherous. A truthful witness saves lives. All you have to remember is to tell the truth. Speak the truth in love. That saves lives. You want to save people's lives. You want to encourage people. You want to be the person God wants you to be. Tell the truth. Don't care about God. Say anything you want. And most of it's going to be lies. And most of it will be about yourself, about how great you are. So Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways, and He will direct your paths. Tomorrow we're going to dive in. There's three scriptures that I want to look at tomorrow out of 33 in chapter 15 that are really poignant and really pointed. So I want to concentrate on those tomorrow. So tomorrow's the 15th, and we'll see you on April 15th. A day to read the scripture. Oh, yeah, also tax day. And I guess you can forget about that or not forget it. It's your business. Have a wonderful day. See you tomorrow.